today on Living on Every Word.
To be beaten, to be mocked, to have nails driven through hands and feet, and to hang on a cross, and the first word he would say is, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And you and I, as a result, if we know Jesus and we've embraced this Christ, you and I must forgive.
Forgiveness, especially after a horrendous wrong, can seem unthinkable. However, forgiveness is essential to living the abundant life God has for us. So let's join Pastor Mike Fridger in part two of Living the Last Words of Christ.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. I look at everything that we just saw, and I say in my finite mind, this does not make sense. To be beaten, to be mocked, to have nails driven through hands and feet, and to hang on a cross, and the first word he would say is, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Doesn't make sense to me. And you know, forgiveness sometimes just doesn't make sense. When I look at this whole thought of forgiveness, and having walked in 28 years of ministry, and seeing when people come in with their struggles, and many of you have come through that, and you know what we've dealt with. We've dealt with forgiveness issues. Because that's where freedom comes. It comes through this very first word, by walking in forgiveness. Freedom for you, and even freedom, perhaps, for the one you're forgiving. To release the power of God. No matter how horrendous the sin is, no matter how bad you've been offended, and no matter how long you've been offended, you and I must forgive. Bottom line, we must forgive. We must release. You look at this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, and he says, "Pursue peace with all men, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Walk in bitterness today, you will be defiled, and many people around you will be defiled. You will drag your spouse through the dirt, you will drag your children through the dirt, you will drag the people around you through this defilement when you walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, anger and wrath. Why forgive? Because your unforgiveness defiles many around you. Why forgive? Because forgiveness finds the freedom that God always, always wanted you to have. Forgive and you will be free. Notice in Matthew chapter 18, if you would. Matthew chapter 18, and we look at this illustration of this. Verse 21, Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." And Jesus said to him, "I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." Now that's about $10 million in silver content. "Since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had in repayment to be made. So that slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him. 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. And that slave went out, and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. That's about $40. And he seized him and began to choke him and say, 'Pay back what you owe. Pay me my $40. He says, 'Have patience with me and I'll repay you.' But he was unwilling, went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. They came and reported to their lord all that had happened. And then summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And here's another hard verse. My heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Walk in unforgiveness and you get torturers. Walk in anger, you find depression. You find lust, loneliness, the outburst of anger, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, all those things. Just, I'm going to tell you, connect it. Find the unforgiveness and release. And you know what happens? The tortures go away. You get released. You walk in freedom. Every one of us have been hurt. And if there's hurt and there's grief and if it's not dealt with scripturally, it will turn into anger and anger will turn into bitterness and unforgiveness. You got to go back to the root and forgive and get that root out of your life. You and I have the power to forgive. I want you to watch this right now of a couple in our church who walked through forgiveness in a powerful, powerful way that shows us an illustration from our own body of the power of God that's available to you and to me.
Julie and I met in 1988 when I moved to Dallas. When I met Julie, I had already begun the process to go and work overseas.
I knew that Chris was the one. About the time that he was getting ready to go to Australia, and we talked through just what it would be like to get married.
We actually got married the first time over the phone, and then from the time I had left till I came back to get her, it was a period of 8 months, and then we were married in Carrollton when I got home.
Chris came home on a Thursday night from flying so far, you know, from Australia back, and then we had rehearsal dinner and then the wedding that Saturday.
We had been married and in Australia for about a year, and we had began praying about and discussing starting a family. And so we started trying to have a family and to no success. And I came home from work one evening, and Julie was sitting there on the couch, and she said, we need to talk.
We'd been married about a year, and we were thinking about having children. We were so excited just the prospect of that and had tried for a few months. And knew, I just, the Spirit of God, I just knew the Lord telling me, you must tell him this.
When I left to go overseas, I left Julie in the care of what was at that time a very good, close, personal friend, a friend of mine, a friend of the family's. And she had taken an interest in Tarleton and was wanting to come down and go to Stephenville. And so he was going to get some information for her. And she came down one weekend to get that information that he had gotten. And this friend of mine and another friend basically raped Julie that night.
I shared with him what had happened, and I'll never forget the look of anguish on his face and how he physically got sick.
My dad passed away when I was 8 years old. I sat in his lap when he died and watched him die of a heart attack. And this affected me greater than watching my father die.
I just cannot tell you how difficult that was and how that was probably even more heart-wrenching to tell him than it was the actual assault, because I knew how much that was going to hurt him.
The only way I know to describe it and the way I've described it in the past is basically every demon in hell welled up inside of me. Immediately, physically, I was sick. We prayed together, we cried together, we searched the scripture together, trying to find some kind of an answer.
After I had told Chris, it was within a month later we got pregnant with our first child, Blake.
There was a lot of healing that went on during that time. At an incredible rate.
It was almost like the tragedy that was so horrible from telling Chris and the healing in our lives came a precious child.
From the time that I experienced this healing in Australia, when we were seeking God, God continued to work in our lives. God continued to do great things in our lives. It is at that point in time, when we came back to the States even, that because the way Julie had worked through this issue, the way that she had dealt with things, God gave her a voice to sing. And she really felt like God was bringing her to a point where He wanted her to sing of His great glory. At the same time is when I had gone to Houston after we had gotten back from Australia, and I was sent down there for computer training, and something got all over me the night that I was there. I was there alone. I was in a motel room. And I knew through the grapevine that this guy lived in that area. And I picked up the phone book. I looked up his name. I picked up the phone and I called him. And I said, no longer is there an ocean between us. I'm in the same country. I'm in the same state. I'm in the same town. And I'm looking at your name in the phone book. And I said, I've got a good mind just to come by and blow your head off tonight. And the minute I said that, the instant I said that, was almost I felt like God's hand was just taken off of me. That's when the struggle really began for me.
After Chris made that phone call, I feel like that we really were not walking closely with the Lord, because He took into His own hands something that the Lord said, that vengeance is mine.
Marital problems. I was no longer even interested in being spiritual leader of my house. Many problems, and it just began to snowball from there.
There was anger there, and I just was seeking the Lord, and I was trusting Him to work that out in Chris, whatever it was. And I just knew that God was going to take care of him and take care of that, because I didn't know how to encourage him or to help him.
God laid a burden on our heart to live a life differently than we were living. And I came home from work one day and I told Julie, I said, I feel like God's leading us back to Heiko. So we literally packed up and moved to Heiko. We had no home. We had no job. One of the longest trips of my life. We cried all the way to Dallas, and we stopped at Chalk Mountain on our way in, and I remember saying, we're going into the promised land, and I didn't even know what I was saying at the time, but I can look back now and see that God was truly bringing us into the promised land. A friend that I grew up with allowed us to stay in his home, and I started hauling feed, was driving a feed truck, and we visited Cottonwood, and I met with you. I'll not forget, it was the first week that we had visited, and I remember sharing with you where I was spiritually, and I can remember underneath that oak tree by that feedlot, you reaching into the back of the truck, and the kids had one of their Bibles back there, and you opened up to that passage that read, God can restore what the locusts have eaten. And you just painted this picture for me of, if I am able to get to the point of forgiving and allowing God to move in my life, all of these years of bitterness, of anger, of unforgiveness could be restored.
What God has done in me is amazing through this, and He has healed me and loved me and valued me and treasured me, and I'm not labeled by it. But to see what he's done in my husband far surpasses what I experienced.
It was less than 2 weeks after you and I had met under that tree. And I was coming out of town with a load of feed, and I called this man who had so deeply wounded my family. And while I was on the phone with him, I was able to say, I know what I have said to you in the past. I know how I have threatened you in the past. And the first words that came out of my mouth that day were, can you forgive me for what I did, because what I did was wrong? And I'll never forget his response. He said, my God, for what I've done to you. He said, how can you ever forgive me? And I just said, you're forgiven. And it was, I heard the words come out of my lips. I heard the words come out of my mouth. And it was as if someone else was speaking. But I know that a weight was lifted off of me that day. I know that the sun came out. And I know that my life turned around. And I know that my great God put me on a new road that was completely different than the road that I'd been walking down.
I saw a complete change in my husband's life. And I saw a passion in him, and I saw him experience the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ.
The freedom that we have walked in since then is seeing my marriage restored, seeing my children being raised for a hunger of the Word to follow after their Savior, to see both of my sons come to Christ, to have one son lead the other, his brother, to the Lord, to be able to baptize one of my sons, to see my wife stand up and worship, to see my wife sing praises to a God that she loves so much, to see her forgive has taught me to forgive.
It has been amazing to have my husband call the man who did this to me and ask for his forgiveness, because he harbored, you know, that hatred towards this man. And I look at my husband and I think, that is an incredible work of God.
The blessings that I have in my life, the change, the life change that happened in our life, in my life, I totally, without a doubt, attribute to that day on the side of the road when I forgave this man. Absolutely. That was the turning point in my life. One of the things that I remember, just crying out to God, asking for an answer, and as clear as I'm sitting here looking to you, he gave me this image of himself stretched out on the cross. And he said, when I stretched out my arms and hung on the cross, it wasn't just for Chris, it wasn't just for Julie, it wasn't just for people in the church, but it was for the thieves, the robbers, the rapists, the evil people in this world, those who are separated from me. I stretched out for all of them.
You know, that doesn't make sense unless you know Jesus. And then it makes perfect sense. Something so horrendous, something so horrible, it makes sense when you get to the other side, when you walk through the threshold, and you realize what was so impossible for man becomes so possible with God. And it's possible today that no matter where you have been, no matter what the offense has been, no matter who was the offender in your life, that God, on a cross 2,000 years ago, forgave that person and forgave you, and came when you by faith received Him into your heart and life to reflect and to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chris, will you come up for just a second? The story doesn't end there. They left this interview from my office and went home to share with their sons, because this was a very personal thing that they were going to share with the body. And so they felt like they needed to share with their boys. And I want you to just tell us what happened.
We went home, we shared with both the boys that night this story. And I opened it up and said, what kind of questions do y'all have for mom and dad? Because we knew that this was going to be something that they were going to be hearing about. They looked at me and one of them said, "Dad, did you really want to kill that man?" That's a hard thing to confess to your son. And I said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Dad, what are you going to do if you ever come face to face with that man again?" I said, "I don't know. But I said, I would pray that I've learned enough through God's grace that He would get me through that situation." Last thing, he looked at me and he said, "Dad," he said, "you remember last year when those kids at school were mean to me and treated me like they did, made fun of me, kicked me. He said, I wanted to beat them up. He said, I wanted to beat them around like a rag doll. But he said, Papa, you know what I want to do now? I want to look them in the eye and I want to forgive them. And I want them to forgive me for having the thoughts that I did." And I called Mike early the next morning and I thought, my gosh, it took me 38 years to get it. And look at my two young lads, and they get it at such an early age.
I'd like right now for us just to go, Lord, in prayer. Scripture speaks of Cain and the way of Cain, the first murderer. And that murder didn't just happen. It happened from a seed where he got offended at God and offended at his brother. And in that offense, God came and said, "Hey, sin, defilement, lawlessness is crouching at the door of your life. And Cain, you must master this. I'm going to give you the power to master it. You don't have to walk in this offense." But I'm going to tell you, it began and begins with an offense. And if you're easily offended, it's because you took offense one day and you never ever dealt with it. If you're critical, judgmental, it's because you took offense one day and you never ever laid it down. It's time to lay it down, because sin crouches and it's crouched at the door and it wants to master you. And if you don't master it, sin will get you and gobble you up. The Bible says that when Cain rose up after that word from God, he made a decision not to allow the Spirit or God to come and master the sin, and so he killed his brother. The ultimate work of the fruit of unforgiveness. The Scripture says that he became hidden from the face of God and became a vagrant and a wanderer. And every bitter person at some point in his life becomes a spiritual vagabond, a spiritual vagrant and wanderer. And all it began was with an offense. It may be a horrendous sin, and it may not make sense. But walk through the threshold today and forgive the offender you will find life. You will find life today. For invitation this morning, I'm going to invite you to deal with your unforgiveness. And I'm going to ask if you will, if there's any vestige, anything remaining, if there's any residue left of unforgiveness that you need to get right, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and kneel down on it and make it right with God. Maybe you need to pray a prayer something like this. Father, I confess that I have not loved the following people who have hurt and disappointed me. I have held unforgiveness in my heart towards. I have held unforgiveness in my heart towards these people for. This unforgiveness is sin. I ask you to forgive me for this bitterness, anger, and wrath that I've walked in. And I know that on my own, I can never forgive them. But I know that you can through me. So right now, Lord, by an act of my will and according to your Spirit, I choose to forgive. And I release them today, the debt. I will no longer walk in agreement with bitterness and unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I choose to put on love. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and releasing me. And as you have forgiven, so I will forgive. Thank you for this power. Thank you for this freedom. Father, I want to pray for these at this altar today. I want to ask that your Holy Spirit would come and empower them today with a fresh new work of the Spirit of God. I want to pray, Lord, that as they lay these things down, as the pictures or the faces of men and women or children or sons and daughters or teenagers or whatever, just whatever the picture is, Lord. Father, I want to ask, Lord, that right now today, that by that power and by that Spirit, Lord, that as they release these folks, as they release them and forgive them, the debt, that, Father, that they'll lay down this unforgiveness, and in laying down this unforgiveness, they find the freedom of God. I proclaim freedom today. Freedom today. As they walk this walk out of imitating their great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who bore the brunt of their sin. And forgave them. Thank you, Father. I pray that you'd fill them with your Spirit today and give them wisdom and insight in how to walk in the days ahead. And Father, if there are still times where they have to brush up to the people that they have forgiven, I want to ask, Lord, today for the absolute total power, the absolute total anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit living God, that will teach them how to abide in Jesus. And to abide in Jesus, they will bear this fruit of love. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen and amen.
As Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, He spoke seven last words. What was His departing message to the world? Join Pastor Mike Fritcher in this 9-part study of Jesus' last words as he examines these words and the vital message they carry for the believer today. For a $35 donation, you can own this deluxe 9 CD set and help support this ministry. To order your set today, go to livingonEveryWord.org.